What am I supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Bad Play Style is a book club podcast.
For video games.
For video games. Welcome to Season 3 of Bad Play Style. This is our infinite spoiler warning. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear that Metroid is a girl. Or the Zelda's boy. There, how's that?
Yeah. We swears a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that...
You say bad words.
You can send corrections to...
BadPlaySal@gmail.com.
Welcome to Bad Play Style.
Hey, I'm Owen.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kanan.
We said it in a different order this time. So, welcome to the show. We played Into the Breach, which is delicious and delightful, and I had a lot of fun. Did you have fun, Owen?
It's okay.
Did you have fun, Kanan?
Yes.
Okay. Owen, you had mentioned to me previously, and I want it, this is the time I'm choosing to say this,
okay,
that you did not engage with the game in the way that the game thought you
would. I did not engage with the game at the level that the game wanted me to.
Okay, so let's just, like, go into that with that on there. But before we get into any talk about any of that, we need to do something very specific,
yeah,
which is burn Kanan, yeah, by the testicles,
yeah, yep,
for felonious acts against his bank account,
yeah,
last night.
Against my bank account, yes.
This highly employed man.
So employed.
Felt a thirst in his mouth. And bought two games on Steam.
I did.
At their full release price.
Yeah. One of them was only 15, to be fair.
Kanan, we would still be roasting if you only bought, yes, Far Cry 5.
Yes, I understand.
Wait, which game was $15?
Barker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, three games then.
What?
Vermintide 2 just came out.
No, I bought that, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
So, we haven't recorded in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes, true.
You are thrice rested.
Games.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, don't be like Kanan.
Yeah, don't be like Kanan.
Get a job.
Don't buy Far Cry 5 on release.
Yeah, Jesus, an Ubi game on release? Gross.
Yeah. It's cool so far.
Yeah, I bet. The dog seems cool.
The character stuff, I'm enjoying a lot more than I expected.
I saw a thing on Twitter today.
Well, Far Cry's always been great with it.
Yeah, yeah, and there's like more than one villain.
So you were saying Twitter.
I saw a thing on Twitter today where a dude is like, or rather, a woman on Twitter was quoting her husband, and her husband said something along the lines of, I love that you heal the dog by rubbing his tummy,
yep,
but that means the dog gets hurt.
Yeah, yep. That dog will not get out of the way when you get in a vehicle.
Oh.
Just putting that out
there. I don't like this game.
You can pet other dogs.
Yeah, but I don't like games where dogs are hit by fucking cars.
Yeah.
So my problem is it's like the same as in, like, when a mobile comes out with a new character, and they're like, oh, this character's so cool, they do all these things. And I'm like, motherfucker, why? You need to demonstrate to me why I would pick this character
over the other 198.
Literally any of the other characters that do the same thing. That's my problem with dogs in video games. It's like, motherfucker, why should I care about this dog when fucking the, like, Phantom Pain dog was the best dog in all of video games?
So, yeah. Funny story.
Okay.
He spots people like D-Dog.
But so did the dog in Fallout 4, and yep, that system was garbage.
He's better than that dog.
Okay.
He's like an in-between.
That's not a very high bar.
I agree.
Because the dog in Fallout 4 makes me embarrassed for dogs.
I actually like Peaches the cougar, because she stealth kills people with me, and it's great.
So she's a literal cougar?
Yes. The way you get this cougar is you go find it in the woods after it killed a bunch of white people, and you bait it back to its place that it lives. Which is a lady who's a taxidermist.
Mm.
And then she's like, I don't want this cat anymore, it's yours.
Okay.
She's the worst. Yeah.
You shouldn't hang out with big cats, because they'll eventually kill you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Big cats are not your pets.
No, <Nope, laughs> they don't do that. So yeah, how many of these video games have you played so far?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. To the tune of at least an hour each.
All right. So 20 minutes.
No. I actually played Bomber Crew for like quite a while today.
Look, I'm just saying we've demonstrated past your ability to tell time.
I'm getting better at it though.
Like, oh really?
Yeah, with all this time.
Oh shit, yeah, that's fair.
I have time to devote to that.
Shit, that's fair. Alright, but so Keenan, besides those three video games that you shouldn't buy, what did you buy?
What did you buy? Nothing else, actually.
That's good. What have you been playing?
Been playing a little Warframe.
Okay.
Because some stuff came up there that I wanted. And I got back into HOTS.
Oh yeah, you tried to get me in on that.
I'm tired of League of Legends. I'm done with it. Hopefully forever. And because
wait, hold on.
Yeah, no, it's yep. I saw that Phoenix was coming out in HOTS, and I wanted to know what was going on in that game.
Phoenix looks cool.
Is he actually a dragoon?
He's a dragoon.
Okay,
yeah, he came out today, actually.
See, I was hoping that they do like what they did with D.Va, where he's got the because D.Va's got the mech form, and then when you detonate the mech, you're in the little like pilot form for a while until you do enough damage to get back in the mech.
A pop star with a gun.
I was hoping that it would be the opposite, where Phoenix was a little shitty zealot until he dies.
No, make
and
him
then he turns into a dragoon.
Yeah, make him like work like Artanis, but like all his abilities suck.
Yeah.
Like, he just does shitty damage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's out, but they made him cost 15,000 gold, so I don't have that yet, so I can't play him, which is a bummer. But he seems really good, from what I've seen. And then they nerfed the shit out of Chad!
Oh, no.
You're gonna have to explain to the listeners who Chad is.
Chad is Varian Wrynn. He's the whitest of all fantasy characters. That's why we called him Chad.
Yeah.
He's so boring.
He's so boring.
He wears a puka necklace and holds a red solo cup.
I say they nerfed him because they moved where his, like, what build am I talent goes. But then I had a guy today take taunt at level 4, and that was really mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's nerfed so much as he's just not what he used to be, and no one knows what to do with that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a thing that happens in MOBAs. So I've been playing a lot of other stuff because
how much Bomber Crew did you play, Keenan?
Tackle chat. Like an hour?
Okay.
Like an hour. And
how much was it?
It's 0.7 hours.
Oh, okay.
I thought you said you played it for multiple hours.
No, like, I played, like, 3 missions after the tutorial. Like, I've got some stuff on my bomber now.
Hey, that's better than the last time.
Yeah, that's a much better ratio.
That's a much better ratio than the last time. I was like, oh, I played that game for 3 hours, and it was like 0.2
And then, of
hours.
Course, I've been playing...
I was like, what the fuck, dude?
I've, of course, been playing PUBG.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Six Siege. That's what I've been
doing. But we don't need to talk about that.
No, it's fine. But,
I'll go next.
You go next.
Yeah. You go next.
I'll go next. I completely forgot. Oh, I recently changed around my entire living room setup and was able to squeeze in a 3x4 meter VR space and was able to play.
By that he means all the furniture is on the edges of the room.
It's dope. I was able to play a Impossible Spaces Room Escape VR game. That was super cool. It's called Unseen Diplomacy.
Dope.
Yeah,
that's awesome. A cool, weird name.
Yeah. I failed at the end because I couldn't figure out the last puzzle. And a satellite shot on Earth with like a Moonraker laser.
Yo.
Yeah, I died.
Dope.
Yo. That's a cool way to die.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Couldn't figure out how to do it. Like, there was this weird hologram thing and I needed to like grab the satellites and like do something with them. But whenever I threw them across the room, they just floated back. And whenever I aimed them at each other, they didn't fire their lasers. So I don't know what I was supposed to do.
Weird.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Yeah. Okay. Am I talking about what I played?
Well, I wasn't finished.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I forgot what the other game I was going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was.
There was like a pause. And I was like,
yeah,
because
I forgot.
Expecting me to
oh, shit, is it me?
No, it's not. No, it's not. They fixed the Payday 2 VR so you can use, like, other guns now, like you can use grenade launchers and stuff, whereas before you couldn't do that.
Was it just handguns?
It was just, it was ARs and single handguns, not dualies. Some of the dualies that weren't handguns you could use, but it was like not machine guns, not sniper rifles. They fixed it so you can use sniper rifles. I think they fixed the machine guns.
Okay.
So, like, and that's what I wanted to do.
They're like
I wanted
filling out what's in the game.
I wanted to roll around with a melee weapon in one hand and an LMG in the other hand, and just, you know.
Do you think?
Teleport around and shoot people. And I was going to have a great time doing that. And they, like, redid some of the skills so that they have additional functionalities for people in VR.
Cool.
Yeah. So I've been meaning to hit you up. I want to play some of that.
Yeah, I want to play some of it, but I want to get, I used to go to the VR, the Vive subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go there is a sad graveyard of photos of people's televisions that they punched by accident with their controller. And in the last few months, I actually got a television in my room and it's right next to my VR area.
Yeah.
And so I want to get like a wooden board with like hooks to put over my television so I don't punch through the fucking screen when using
So he's not making that post.
Yeah. Because like for months and months I looked at that subreddit and went, haha, you stupid jackasses. And like, I'm going to be so mad at myself if I'm that person. Like, and they're like expensive TVs. Like, I don't have a nice TV.
But it's still like, it's your TV.
It's my TV. It's the one I got for free. I don't have the motivation to buy myself a television, but I would also be very unhappy if I broke that fucking TV, especially for something as stupid as that. So there's like a bit of creative carpentry I need to do before I turn my Vive back on.
So I think I said it on this podcast, but I may have just said it to you in passing a few months ago. I was talking to you and I was like, hey, you know what game was almost really good?
What game, Matt?
Vermintide 1.
Yeah.
And that game was like, it was so close to being just a really good game. There was just a few things and a few bits of like polish and like more systems and shit that it needed to be like truly excellent.
When it seems showed, you really hated it.
Yeah. And then like the new one, they seem to have put some... put a little spit shine on that shit.
Good.
You know, and I'm excited to try it.
It's kind of like
I played the tutorial this morning, but anyway, you.
It's kind of like, did you ever play Sid Meier's Pirates?
Yeah.
Like, that's a cool game, but that game is like not deep.
It's not. Yeah. Like you get to a certain point, you just snowball, and you're like, I don't know, this is boring.
I'm gonna go retire.
It needs another level of complexity on it, and then Assassin's Creed Black Flag literally uses almost every system from Sid Meier's Pirates and layers Assassin's Creed over it.
I'm fucking sold on that game now! Holy shit!
And then also has like a system for building your own fleet and doing dispatch missions, which is like another cool subsystem.
Which so is
like,
something Pirates should have had.
Owen has been an evangelical for Assassin's Creed 4 being the best Assassin's Creed and probably the only one you should play quite some time.
Also, it's the only one I've played.
I can also probably get it for like $5 now.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's dope.
But anyway, if you haven't played Black Flag, you should go play it. It's
good. Yeah,
that's a cool game.
If you want like a pirate experience, that's good. The wonderful thing I remember you told me about that was that the main character in that is not an assassin.
He just
found it. He found the gears. He finds this is dope. I could probably use this to be a better pirate.
He finds a dead assassin and like puts on his stuff, and then like
gets like put in the embroiled political situation and doesn't care.
Gets swept into it. And so it's great for me as a fish out of water on Assassin's Creed because I don't know about this shit.
Yeah.
But also, that in no way compelled me to get up to speed on Assassin's shit. So, like, there's, like, stuff that happened in that
game. You're not missing much, let me tell you.
And I don't know. I don't remember what any of it is.
I played at least 4 of those games, not that one. And you're not missing much.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Man, Ubisoft. Fuck those guys.
They're getting better about certain things.
Oh my god, but they're still Ubisoft.
Their single-player experiences are pretty whack.
Yeah. I'm watching a Crobcat video a few months ago.
I need
like,
more than one good game.
Crobcat, I know, is the height of like cynical cynicism, but I just love
him. You missed him rolling his eye when you say Crobcat.
I know, I did not miss him. I saw that.
Okay.
I know that Owen is... on the side of optimism for the most part, but there was just a video of like people opening day playing the Egyptian Assassin's Creed on launch day, and like just the horrible glitches, especially with boats and like other vehicles, where they would just like go on their tip and like spin around.
Seems like a cool feature if it's built in.
And then, like fucking carts with people on them would do that, and then like shoot into the air and shit. And
this
like,
sounds great.
It's a wonderful video.
You sounds should, like you awesome. And you should.
It's pretty great.
They're gonna have a hard time outdoing the skeletal faces.
Yeah, I mean, I heard honestly, Assassin's Creed Origins came off a lot more polished than what
Liberation
and Syndicate and what was Unity?
Assassin's Creed France.
Yeah,
that one.
The French one apparently was a burning trash fire of bugs.
There were people that were eyeballs and jaws, and that was it.
Yeah.
Well, they had hoods too.
Yeah, that's true. They had no face though,
or tricorn hats.
No.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I've been playing. That's worth noting.
Cool. I played Night in the Woods. That game's really good. It's like a weird story game, like set in like a Rust Belt town, It's like a town where like their mine got shut down and like the steel mills shut down, like nobody's got jobs, and like there was like a union back in the day, and like I don't know, it's a fucking weird.
But you're like a cat.
Yeah, you're a cat who dropped out of college because you had like a dissociative episode, and
you hang out with a fox man in a leather jacket.
Yeah, dude, Greg rules.
Greg, who's the shopkeeper in that game?
That's him.
Oh, well, Greg's the shopkeeper.
So, okay. Greg runs a convenience store called the Snack Falcon. all the shops in that game have like great names. And then his boyfriend Angus runs the video store, which has a really good name, and I can't remember what it is. It's like Video Store 2, but it's 2 with 2 O's, and it's in quotation marks. And like when you go to the video store, like all the videos have names like Swamp Husband and things like that.
It reminds me of like background books in Brad Neely drama.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. The game's super charming. I went into that game thinking I would like it. I fucking loved it. It's like probably the best game I played from last year.
Good.
That came out last year. I don't know. Mario Odyssey was pretty good too, but.
What else you play?
I play a lot of Star Trek Timelines.
I forgot to mention that I've been playing enjoyable. That.
Yeah.
It's good. In a dumb phone game way.
And then the new weird game I got, I keep forgetting its name, so I have to bring a tool. It's called Opus Rocket of Whispers.
That's a hard name to remember.
And it is like a weird little story RPG set 15,000 years in the future.
Okay.
Dope.
I don't think it's on Earth. And it, like, starts out, you're, like, a young boy and your parents, and you're going to see the launch of a rocket that's going to carry, like, the remains and maybe the souls of people who have recently died into space.
Yes.
Where they are supposed to return, which is what makes me think we're not on Earth, because they mentioned that, like, their souls need to return to space.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, witches come and, like, bless your launch and shit like that. And then there was, like, a horrible plague, and, like, everybody's wiped out, and you're, like, with the last witch trying to build rockets to get people's souls into space.
Into space, yeah.
And, like, their souls are definitely, like, manifesting. Like, it is a supernatural thing.
Sure.
Little glowing wisps come up and say, like, why aren't I in space, you little engineer? And it, I don't know, it's weird. And it was for sale on the Nintendo store. I got it for my Switch. I guess I should mention that. Mm-hmm. All my other games playing my PC was a Switch game. I haven't gotten very far in it, but it...
Well, that sounds really
sounds
neat.
Weird and neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Here, actually, there's a screenshot I wanted to pull up, because it has, like, a bit of, like, exposition that I thought was, like, actually, like... Like, you know the demonic invasion in progress message in Doom?
Hell yeah!
It's like,
that's my
like,
shit!
As Hugo Martin said, like, that's us, like, handing you a ticket. Like, that's, like, a statement of, like, what this right. game is. So, in the prologue to this game, there's a quote, and it just says, "By this rocket, we return to the cosmos." And the quote is from... A History of Space Burials, Leif Finn, Witch of the 46th Generation. And, like, this is, like, the first thing
it shows
game says to you. And it's just like, what the fuck are we talking about? So, like, anyway.
Space witches, man.
Yeah, yeah. So
kind of getting a Fletcher Aerosmith vibe. Maybe a little.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I
should show it to you. It's some.
It's like the 50s and 60s after that.
Comic. Yeah, yeah. Like, Gen Age after Fletcher's Aerosmith.
Yeah, maybe.
God, that'd be cool.
Space witches.
Yeah. The way they talk about rockets in it, though, makes it really clear the writers of the game don't actually know very much about rockets.
Excellent.
So, like, that's a little bit of a bummer for me, but whatever. And also, I played, like, a fucking shitload of Dwarf Fortress. Because, like, we played that for podcast last time, and, like, I have, like, another fortress I started after we recorded. And it's
pretty dope.
That fortress is like 14 years in now or something like that.
Damn.
And don't you have like 157 Z levels down?
Yeah, yeah. So like my fortress has like 200 dwarves living in it and like no kids this time.
Hell yeah.
I went to the init files and lowered the cap on children because they suck. and like my fortress has tunnels that go down 150 Z levels. We got fortifications that can't be penetrated by climbing goblins. We got a tavern full of elves that come and drink all our booze. We got, like, a fucking murder-ass military. I found out, to keep goblins from climbing over your walls, you have to build an overhang sticking out, right? Because they can't climb.
They can't Tom Cruise that shit.
However, if you do that, what your dwarves will do is they will go up onto the walls to shoot. But also, sometimes dwarves in combat will just decide to charge their enemies.
Oh, no.
And will just run off the walls and fight. They'll just jump off and go fight. and like get killed. So you also have to, on top of the overhang wall, you have to build an overhang going the other way to keep your dwarves in. Dwarves are good. Fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like an animal pen at the zoo.
Yeah.
You have to build the wall in this dumbass way because the animal will come murder everybody if you don't.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. And like the dwarven civilization I'm from apparently only wheels and deals in alpacas and yaks. So we have like a ton of alpacas and yaks that we make cheese with. And we shear their fur, and everyone's wearing alpaca clothes and yak fur clothes, and...
Oh, and tell them about your iron.
Oh, yeah. I built some magma forges. That's why we go 150 levels down. We've been smelting iron. I have, like 10,000 iron bars melted in my fortress ready to use.
That's a lot of iron.
Normally, I'd save the iron for, like, important stuff, because there's, like... You can't make crossbow bolts out of nickel, but you can make them out of iron in Dwarf Fortress, so like, gotta save the iron. It has like special uses, but there's so much iron that I just use it for everything. Everything's made out of iron.
It's about to, hey, that's made of wood, now it's made of iron.
Yeah. Especially since we have like some legendary like metal crafters, so like they can make good ass stuff. Anyway.
You need a bed? Iron.
Yeah, iron bed. Actually, you can't. It's against the rules of the game.
Beds have to be wood, don't they?
Well, you can't order dwarves to make a bed out of iron, but if an iron goes into a mood, they
can make a wicked ass iron bed.
When a dwarf is in a mood, they're allowed to break rules about what items can be made out of what materials.
I like the idea, like, he's got all his stuff, he's not disgruntled, but he's like hammering away and being like, breaking the law.
Like he can make like a bucket out of leather or cloth or something. Like if they go into a mood, like it's like dumb shit.
Someone's like, "Why would you?" He's like, "It's amazing."
Yeah. Like he'll make like a mining pick out of like
out of bone.
Make a mining pick out of like woven cloth and gemstones.
I didn't think he was gonna do it, but he fucking pulled off this bone shirt. It's really comfy.
Yeah, that'll happen. that's what I've been playing.
All right.
Oh, also, when I finally perfected the defenses on my fortress, on this new fortress, no goblin civilizations exist near me. We've had some attackers, but, like, nothing to actually merit the amount of time I spent building those fucking walls.
Did you do the thing where your walls are enormous again? Like, they're most of the...
No, they're not quite that big. The geometry of my embark site doesn't really permit my fortress walls to be much larger than they are.
I like that you've, like, perfected this anti-siege tactic, and then, like, no one wants to fuck with you.
Well, we had, like, a Cyclops come, and, like, we fucked him up. Turns out if you shoot a Cyclops in his only eye, he has, like, a really bad day. And we had, like a Forest Titan show up that was just an enormous tarantula. Like, normally they're, like, it's a randomly generated monster that has, like, lots of weird properties. And it's like, it has the head of a trout and the body of this and spits coral. And it's like, no, it's just, like, just a big-ass spider showed up.
It all rolled in together to be a big spider.
Yeah. Hmm. We captured a black bear and we tried to put him in a pit to, like, drop guys in to feed him.
Sure.
But the black bear just crawls to the top of the pit every time. He can climb sheer rock.
Black brother.
Yeah, so he...
Bear!
So, like, the top of the pit has cage traps around it. So, like, we put him in, and he just crawls out and goes into a new trap. So, like, we don't... And he's killed enough people now that the dwarves have named him.
Mm.
Like,
he's a fierce bear.
Yeah, he's not, like, a pet. It's just like, oh, that's old Gustav, the alligator in Lake Victoria. You know, like...
Right.
It's like that. I can't remember his name, because it's, like, some proc-gen dwarven gibberish.
Listeners, go learn about Gustav. Oh,
yeah.
Gustav,
yeah.
Named predators in the wild are fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Gustav has like multiple 50 caliber bullet wounds.
And like many people kills.
Yeah.
Gustav is, I believe, larger than his species of crocodile is supposed to grow to. He's above.
Eat a dick evolution.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. Let's talk about Into the Breach.
Have, like, exceptional members of the species. It happens all the time. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about Into the Breach. Spoilers. Into the Breach doesn't really have too much story going on, but we're going
to... Spoilers, bugs.
But we're going to spoil it. It
doesn't have much story, but it was written by Chris Avalon, so...
Yeah. I mean, like, there's some stuff going on, but then we're going to spoil it.
We got him to write two paragraphs of stuff or something.
We're going
to
do that right now.
Decided what weird people
were in the game, you play as dimension-hopping... mech suit specialist.
Orbital strike mech team.
Yeah, so you guys, like, you dimension hop around these various dimensions that are being attacked by enormous bugs called the Vec, and you beat them up.
It's like a cross between, like, what's that movie with Tom Cruise, Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's like, that movie is like a heavy inspiration for this, because it's like literally about fighting...
It's that and Pacific Rim
at the same time. It's space bugs and playing the same day over and over again and fighting the space bugs perfectly.
Yeah. The book for that's really good.
Sure.
I read it. It's called All You Need Is Kill. It's Japanese. It's really good.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this game when we were like, hey, we're going to go play this game. And I went and played it for like multiple days of the first week that we had it as our game.
Yeah.
And I was like dropping references in our chat and being like, oh, this game is really good. And you guys were both like,
Matt, one didn't answer my joke.
I'm going to play Dwarf Fortress. Yeah. I'm going to play Warframe. And I was like, fine, guys. I'll talk about the game later.
Yeah.
I had a slow start on this game.
Yeah, it's all good, though.
I did not feel immediately motivated to play this game. It was like... Games like this, to me, feel like a big mental investment to get rolling on them.
I will say I like the way the game slow breaks, like, content to you, right? Like, you initially only have the one mech squad, and then when you do enough things with that mech squad, like, when you complete enough challenges and, like, beat the game, you have enough money to buy a second mech squad, right? Like, so you're not just suddenly, like... thrown in, and you're like, which one of these 18 mech squads with deep strategy that you need to analyze immediately do you want to play as? It's like, no, you
I want the one you're gonna punches play as the, and the one gonna, that's a tank and the one as, that's artillery.
You're gonna play as pushy squad, okay? This squad's thing, everything they do pushes stuff, okay? So do that, right? And then you do pushy squad, you buy another squad. Then that squad's thing is, this guy has an enormous laser, and these guys move people around, put them in the laser. Right, like,
I really didn't like the second squad I got.
What was the second squad you got?
I bought the, like, air squad. They're, like, just to the right of starting squad.
Yeah, the Rust Hulks?
Yeah.
I liked them a lot. They're super good.
I did not get it. Okay. I recognize that why I don't like it is because I don't get it.
Well, it's all just about just using the smoke to turn off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, like, I picked up smoke a lot later in my brain.
Sure.
Like, oh, this is cool. So I kind of got stuck with those two squads for quite a while. So I played a lot of the game first squad, but I really liked the first squad.
That is the downfall of that system I was just praising, is that you don't get to see which squads you're buying.
Yeah, you don't know until you
so
have it.
So you buy it, and if you don't rock that squad or don't enjoy its playstyle, it's like, I have to do all these like difficult things.
Should we talk about what the minute-to-minute gameplay is of this game?
It's like, sure. I mean,
it's like an 8x8 tactical grid thing.
Yeah.
Of like a little tableau of like a town or like a mountain range and a river.
Well, it's like part of a city, right?
Yeah. In every case, you're protecting a city.
Yeah.
Because
if the bugs kill the city, you lose.
Yeah, you lose. Your power grid goes down and your mechs can't operate. That was actually
that's the implication.
That was not clear to me until the very end of the game. Is that the power grid was actually powering me?
Yeah.
Because I always just assumed it's like, oh, the civilization has died.
Yeah.
Because we have no power and the bugs kill us. It's like no, it's like literally
your only defense force is fucked without power.
Yeah. Which is like, I don't know, weird to have mechs that run off of the very adjacent city.
It's a very Tesla world.
Yeah,
with
sure.
All this wireless energy.
Sure.
Spewing about.
And so it's like turn based, and then like. The bugs show up, and they, like, telegraph what they're doing next turn, like, explicitly.
Yeah,
like
they just roll up and web your dude and be like, I'm gonna hit him.
There's no RNG on the damage, there's no RNG on whether or not they hit. It's like, this bug is going to attack this next turn, and it will hit, and it will do this much damage next turn.
It's very,
there
very,
is
like,
some RNG, but you can't rely on any of it.
Oh, the only RNG is whether or not your shit gets damaged.
Yeah.
Right, but that, like...
And, like, your shit's gonna get damaged.
I've played this game for multiple... You know, like, many hours.
Your shit's getting damaged.
And, like, I've had that proc. At 15%, I've had it proc, and at 42%, I have had it proc, but it's never reliable.
Right? Your shit's
like,
getting damaged, is how I treat it. Yeah. Like, no, get off that.
Yeah. Like, if your defense happens and your power grid gets damaged and you manage to roll on the thing, that's just lucky. Like, that's all that is. And you take it as, like, So it's, like, there's, like, a chess element to it. In that you need to, like, redirect where the Vec are attacking, right? Or you need to kill them before they get off their attacks, or just soak them on your mechs, or whatever.
Like you can, like, Secret Service your way in front of bullets to protect buildings. Yeah. You can shove Vec into the water because a lot of them die if they go in the water. Yeah. Or just push them out of the way so they attack open air. There's a lot of that that you'll do in that game.
Yeah.
And so, like, every squad has, like, a different fucking toolbox on how to do that.
Sure. I really enjoyed all the squads I played. I played the main squad. I played the lightning gun squad that you suggested.
Yeah.
And then I played the steel judoka, who every single one of their guys...
Flip stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I unlocked that squad, and I try to run with just three judo dudes, three judo mechs, which was, like, super bad, but really funny.
Yeah. My biggest complaint with judoka was that I couldn't flip a Vec onto another Vec.
Oh, sure.
Like, I couldn't just, like, slam him onto the other
That's
Vec.
That's a real bummer.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this should absolutely be
there was a couple times where I ran into stuff like that in the game where my own logic I brought into the game, like, fucking crashed into a wall with what's
this game does not believe in pro wrestler hit other wrestlers with wrestlers logic at all. And that's kind of a bummer.
Or like, an example that I ran into is if you push a Vec into the edge of the map, it does no damage and they do not move. It does literally nothing.
Yeah. Which is a bummer.
They don't go off the map. Mm. They don't take damage, like, fucking nothing.
That sucks.
And, like, I was really counting on it in that time, and I'd never done it before, and I was so fucking teed off at the game when that happened. The other one like that is your airplane, if you play as the Rust Hulks. You get a fighter plane. The fighter plane will trigger landmines.
Oh, what?
Which, like...
Yeah, what the fuck is with flying stuff triggering landmines? Yeah.
And so, like...
Like, even their flyers will trigger
them. Yeah, and
like,
the plane only starts with 2 hit points.
Yeah, so landmines will kill it.
So, like, it's just fucking done. Yeah. And it's just, like, I did that once, and it was, like, that was the end of that timeline. Mm-hmm. We needed the plane the next turn.
Yep.
And it's just, like, fuck you. Like,
there's a lot of that in this game.
Yeah.
But it's so... easy to start over and jump back in.
Playthrough for me, like, from start to end point, whatever that is, beating the game or whatever, is, you know, 20 to 30 minutes.
Sure.
Which I really enjoy that, like, as the time frame. I really enjoy the pacing of this game much more than FTL.
And the fact that it doesn't have a, like, turn timer. Right? Because, like, you were saying, you were playing it, Matt, between PUBG games.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, well, I mentioned that to you.
I started doing that because
I'd heard that, I was like, yeah, I could totally do that in between other stuff I'm doing. And so that's where I was getting in a bunch of my, you know, reps, if you will.
I was saying, if this game comes out for the Switch,
I've been thinking that the whole time. Yeah. Like, since Keenan picked it, it was like, this would be such a great game to play, you picked it.
Yeah.
This would be such a great game to play on my lunch break at work on my Switch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would find, like, I know that's, like, the most tired joke is like, oh, that would be great on Switch.
But this game, I know,
but
it feels...
But that's a testament to the Switch being good.
With the way that the interface is in this game, and, like, the time scale that you play this game at, and, like, how low rent everything is, like, it's perfect. Like, I know that it's tired to say that, but, yeah, and I was really happy Nintendo was making overtures earlier last month about how they'd love to have this on the Switch, and the guys were saying over at Subset, they were saying, like, you know, we'd like to do that, but we want to get it on Mac and Linux first.
Sure.
You know? Right. We have these other goals we already posted.
Yeah. So I really liked that. I really liked that. So whereas in FTL, finding a shop was just something that happened, like, randomly, right? And, like, that kind of sucked. I like that the shops, you know when the shops are going to happen.
You know when it's happening.
Like,
So I like that. I found very frequently that I did not want anything that was for sale at the shop, that I would spend all my points just on power cores and grid power.
Yeah.
Like, it was very rare that I would see something in the shop and think, oh, that looks cool. I want that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the thing I encountered as well.
And
but
the other thing I don't like about the shops is, like, so, like, one of the things about shops is, like, you can buy weapons for your mechs that you wouldn't ordinarily have for them, right? Mm-hmm. I would also find myself getting very aggravated when I would inevitably fail that timeline and no longer have that as a part of my toolbox, and I can never realistically expect to have it again.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough abilities you can buy in the game that it's just, like, it's just not happening.
One thing I wanted to say about this is that I feel like, because I remember a while ago I was looking at a list of, like, games on Steam that were really cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to play something different, something a little bit outside the box. And some I came across like one or two games that described themselves as FTL without the time limit and without as many roguelike elements. Mm-hmm. And that was very appealing to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that while the roguelike elements serve functions within these games made by these guys, mm-hmm. I think that they would benefit from having like a mode or making a game with less roguelike elements. Mm-hmm. Right. I just think like you were saying, like, I want to play around with these other weapons you have, but there's no way for me to engage with that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, right? and I don't want, I feel like every time I play this game, I need to be getting better at it. Mm-hmm. And if I buy one of these weapons and I really like it and it's really useful, I'm putting points into a skill that I'm never going to get to use again, or like maybe I'll get to use if I play this game for 20 more hours.
Yeah,
right? And I'll get to use it
one more time.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
And then even more annoying, in the shop, there's only like 4 slots for new things.
Yeah,
and at least half of the time for me, one of those things was something that didn't fit on any of my mechs.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally.
Right, so it's like cool. That sounds great, but I can't even I can't even buy it and use it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even like there's a negative. It's just you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was, like, kind of frustrating,
too. You can't realistically.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was annoying. On the note of cool shit from the shop, did anyone get the electric whip?
No.
No.
Okay. I have that mech unlocked.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the squads.
Is it?
The electric
okay.
whip, yeah.
I think everything in the shop is on the
okay.
mech.
Yeah. So I put the electric whip on my chargy punchy robot, mm-hmm. and it was really great because they'd all pile around buildings, or power pylons, and then I just zap everything. Because nice. What happens is the current goes through anything that's adjacent to what you're hitting, mm-hmm. as well as through any of your own tiles, like buildings, and then into anything adjacent to those. Well, almost everything that I was fighting on that island when I got it mm-hmm. was a melee monster of some kind. So they'd all swim up to the buildings and yeah. be like, meh! And then I'd just be like, fuck all of you! Like, just like
nice.
Hit 4 dudes at once. And I was playing on normal. So there were, like, more spawns
yeah.
than you guys were getting on easy. Oh, so that sure. was, like, super good for me to just thrash out a bunch of stuff and then move on and deal with the stuff that I had to otherwise.
Yeah.
It was neat. I liked it. If there's robots that do that specifically, that sounds cool.
So I had gotten to the final screen of the game a couple of times, but I'd failed to beat it mm-hmm. A number of times. And so I turned my game down to easy mm-hmm. after that point because I wanted to experience more of the,
right, yeah.
more of the game. So, and then around that point, Owen mentioned to me his strategy where he made a custom squad with 3 of the prime mechs that all look like Metal
Excuse
Gears.
Me, is Metal Gear Rex.
Yeah, they
fucking
look like Metal Gear Rex and they have big railguns on them.
They have that big T-shaped head
yeah.
and they have the forked
railguns. They shoot nukes by railguns, so they're undetectable. I get it. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's it.
So, there's a squad of 3 of those. And it was...
It's like the most meat-headed way to play it.
Stupidest way to play it.
They just shoot a laser in a straight line, and the first target it hits, it does 3 damage, and the next target it does 2, and the next... Every square after that, it does 1. And it hits everything in that line. So if you get 2 of these on a dude, you're doing 6 damage, and there's
really
like...
really good. There's very few things that have more than 6 health.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's an ability you can buy for them where they don't harm their teammates when they shoot.
Nice.
So if you do encounter something that has more than 6 hit points, the third guy can shoot through your squad
yeah.
and do that
so
last
I
point
never
of damage.
Picked, I did that on my squad where I had that. One of my guys picked up flight. So
oh,
he
cool.
was very maneuverable.
Sure.
One of my guys picked up, everyone has 1 more health, which I continued to upgrade. So just the whole squad had more health.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I ended up with all my dudes having 5 health in armor or 6 health at mm-hmm. on the last level. And then the last guy had, if anyone in the squad heals, everyone in the squad heals.
Sure.
Oh, and then I also had a ice weapon on one of my guys. So if there was a thing I couldn't take out in one turn, I just fucking freeze it.
Did you do all the islands when you went into the volcano?
I did.
Okay. I went into the volcano after 2 islands every single time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We just
every island run I did, I was
yeah.
like, fuck, do it! Let's
yeah.
go!
Like, yeah, it was just like...
I wanted to see what 4 islands...
I never saw the last island, the one that's all... creepy looking.
Yeah, the that's the garbage island.
Yeah.
No, it literally it's made of garbage.
I believe you, but like creepy garbage island.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's garbage
yeah.
island.
I didn't want to go there.
So yeah, I did that and I just totally handled the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, it was super funny. Apparently when you do the freeze bomb, It freezes your guy too, mm-hmm. but if you have someone heal on the same term, healing cures status size. Effects. Yeah. So he would just be like, and that was the flying one. So he'd just be like, I'm gone. And he would just leave. And then, the other thing was, oh, that guy, one tile, I forgot he was standing over lava. And so he, like, the lava appeared and he died.
Oh.
Like, that pilot just died.
Sure.
Right? But then I healed one of my other dudes on, like, on that turn, and he just whoop right back out of the lava and was like, hey, I'm here. What's up, guys?
Wow. That's something I didn't know the game did.
Weird. Yeah. So it's like, that was really fucking weird. I'm pretty sure that's a glitch because the pilot was in there still, too.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't have been able to live in the lava if he didn't have flying.
Sure.
Right? Like, he wouldn't have been able to stand in that square. But he just, like, he was in the lava dead and gray, and then all of a sudden, and I was like, cool, I get an extra action this turn.
Yeah.
That's great.
And that actually was what, like, won me the game.
One thing that surprised me is later on in the game, I could get a lot done with two mechs.
Yeah.
If I needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting, like, okay, no, like, I can actually... Because
the usual party composition is a prime mech who's your smasher.
Mm-hmm.
He's your damage dealer. And then there's the brute mech who's provides a little smash and a little utility. And then there's the utility mech.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and that's the artillery on the main squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, after I chanced upon the triple Metal Gear strategy.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good strategy.
Strategies is past all strategies.
Yeah, it's fucking effective as hell. And is like not nearly as strategically engaging as every other configuration in the game. I tried to see if there were any other triple loadouts that would work.
Triple punchy bots, sounds fun.
Nothing
worked. No, I believe it.
Nothing worked that I tried. Like I did the judo bot, mentioned that. You just get to throw guys around and do, like, almost no damage.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing happens.
Yeah. And you just get more and more bugs.
The damage from your Judoka squad comes from its utility bot that doubles the damage that they back do to each other.
I really liked the fighter plane from the Rust Hulks. So I was like, sweet, fighter squadron, let's roll. Also can't do shit.
Yeah, because it's like one damage a turn.
Well, no. So here's the thing, Keenan. The one damage a turn comes from the utility bot in that squad.
Oh.
So if you have the fighter, so the fighter planes do one damage as they fly over their target and drop a smoke cloud.
Yep.
And then the smoke cloud, if you have their utility, does one damage as a dot if they stay in the cloud.
Oh, right.
But because that guy's not there, they just get out of the smoke next turn and, like, break something. And, like, all the planes have 2 hit points, so, like.
So that's plus terrible.
The more smoke clouds you lay, the less you can shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, that
you're
was
just hemming yourself in at that point.
Well, like, you're having them in two, but they don't care nearly as much. Yeah. They don't have to move while they shoot.
So that was just bad. I tried a couple other ones. And,
okay.
I feel like three punch bots.
Who listened to the music?
I got tired of the music.
Oh, you did?
And I liked it, but it was too repetitive.
I turned it off, and I found an 8-bit arrangement of the Pacific Rim theme, and I listened to that on loop.
Oh, I'm going
to
need that.
Actually, that video is really cool, because the guy made, like, fake, like, NES, like, select screen stuff.
Oh, cool. I really like the music, but maybe I didn't listen.
It's fine. I just listened to too much of it.
All right, fair enough. I want to briefly talk about the music.
The music's good. I like it. But I played that game in long enough sittings that I got tired of it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'll show it to you after we record.
I found it a little bit disheartening that when you beat the game, like, teleports all your pilots out and then goes, okay, beat the game again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a little bit like...
Nah, man. That's what it do.
Oh, man.
What
I don't want to do that right now. I want to go do something else. Like,
yeah.
It's funny that you say that because the fiction piece we're talking about, that's that Tom Cruise movie / that Japanese book, he runs across a character who figures out, oh my god, we're both in a loop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like part of the thing.
They're the only ones aware that they're in a
time. Yeah, like they're the only ones who know, but like at the beginning of the book, neither of them knows that the other one does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that the person who has already been in the loop keeps going forward in time when they get the day right and then runs into another loop day. So, like, that is their existence in this fiction, right? Like, that they keep running into this problem and then having to do the right thing to get out of that day, and then a week later, here's another day! Like,
okay.
So, like, that character's really fucking tired of it by then.
Okay, but, like the other character?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, like, it's sort of weird and like, makes sense in the context of that. The game's just like, hey, go for it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, I bet. Because that book's really good.
That's a cool movie. I don't like Tom Cruise, and I don't like Tom Cruise movies. That's a good movie that Tom Cruise happens to be in.
I believe that because the source material for it is, like, written like a movie.
Okay, right? So, like, was there anything else you wanted to say about Into the Breach?
It's good.
It's fun.
Do it.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah. I've had this, like, realization in the last couple of years that, like I used to have, like, some hang-ups about game difficulty in games. That, like, I need to play it on at least normal. And if I'm, like, if I'm going to be a real cool dude, I should play it on hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, you know what? Like, I don't need to play games I don't enjoy on not easy.
Yeah.
And, like,
that's fair.
I tried playing some normal. It's just like, I'm not ready to, like, do the, like, galaxy brain necessary to chess my dudes around and shove and push and do the damage to that dude, and I'm making gestures, but
that makes sense.
The eight-dimensional chess that is this game, like, I was just not feeling it.
Yeah, I like that playing it in easy allowed me to understand the mechanics, and then when I went back to normal, I was like, well, now I can fucking execute, like, right, like, it provided this cool training ground on easy for me to figure out that stuff, and then go, oh, that's how that works, really well, kind of thing.
Never feel bad for wanting to play a game on easy, and don't listen to anyone who tries to make you feel bad for doing it.
Yeah, no, send me an email of their face, and I will point an unloaded gun at it and do a voodoo ceremony that makes them have bad luck.
Unloaded give gun
us,
voodoo.
If someone does that to you, give us their email address, and we will email them.
We'll send them a picture of me doing this. Fuck you, I hope you die.
I really liked, so back to the lack of time limit in the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing those harder game modes, that lack of time limit is amazing because you can sit there and fucking, like you said, galaxy brain the chess match super hard.
Yeah.
There was so I remember the moment that, like, the day I got into it, right? And I was, like, playing the game a bunch rather than just, like, single matches and going, like, that was happening at first. Keenan sat down next to me, and we started collaborating.
Yeah, we were like, but if you do this!
And that was super fun to sit there, like, with my buddy and, like, be like, what about this? What about that? And, like, to strategize with somebody else there. That was super fun. That would be a way that I would highly recommend playing this game, like, with somebody else.
Yeah, it's a good game to co-op with because the things you're missing is what they're catching.
Right. Yeah.
And so then you both are like, accomplishment!
Yeah, and together. Then you can both feel the accomplishment when it works out, right? So that would be a way that I would recommend playing the game, because that was really fun with Keenan and I doing that for, like, a half an hour.
I also didn't want to, like, bogart your game. That's the other reason. Like, I'm out.
I don't care. It's a fucking roguelike. A roguelike whose playtime is 30 minutes, which is perfect. Anyway. That's
brilliant.
So I'm good on that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good. We're moving on to
Do we want to give it Not Real Game Awards?
Do we want to do that now? I suppose we should do that.
That's
now.
Sort of in the order of things.
Yeah, we can do that now. All right. How many Todd Howards?
None.
None.
I feel like we give a lot of games zero Todd Howards.
Well, that's fine. We play a lot of not Todd Howard games. That's fine. But, like, surprises will happen.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, they're going to announce a Todd Howard game any day now. It'll get all the Todd Howards.
How many Prairie Chunks?
Mm.
I think one.
Yeah, like one or two.
Yeah, one or two.
What is
one
it?
And
one
and
or two?
This game is an indie darling.
Okay.
And Brendan Chung is also an indie darling.
I'm
going to
give it two.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
with two. Two's fair.
All right.
Yeah.
How many Nina Freemans?
God,
like zero.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, she's kind of like Todd Howard in that respect.
Yeah.
Nina Freeman is like Todd Howard in that respect.
Oh, Jesus. Quote us on that.
They're the opposite.
Ooh, here's a good one. How many Simon Vicklins?
Ooh.
And remember, this isn't about music, it's about attitude.
I think three?
I think four. I was going to go with four. Four Simon Vicklins.
Like, I know you just said it's not about music, but I think to get past three...
To back that up, the music.
Yeah.
I'm giving it four. I feel four? Like four.
I can feel four.
And you feel four?
Yeah, so, I'm sticking
so
to my
three
notes.
And a half.
Sure.
Three and a half. We'll meet in the middle. Three and a half Simon Vicklins. All right. How many J.E. Sawyers? At least one.
I would get, actually, so follow that guy's Tumblr. That boy likes him some, like turn-based tactical games.
Is it three?
I'd give it like two or three.
Two or three?
Like two and a half, maybe.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, he makes fucking, like, strategy RPGs.
Yeah.
What do you think, Keenan?
I think three.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay, three. We're at three. Holy shit.
How many Jay Sawyers?
Like, it can't be any more though, because it's like completely narratively devoid.
Yeah.
Well, not completely, but almost completely.
Yeah, it's like it has about as much storytelling as Heat Signature did.
It has as much storytelling as a promo for Battlestar Galactica.
It has slightly less storytelling than Heat Signature did.
Yeah.
Because there's no NPC conversations.
There's no characters.
Yeah.
It has exactly as much storytelling as a Battlestar Galactica weekly promo where Adama yells, "Make the jump."
Edward James Olmos is a cool actor. Well, yes. No, he's a good actor. I've heard he's a dirtbag.
Speaking of dirtbags, I believe I'm anticipating a zero on this one, but it's a Jeff Bezos award.
How many? Zero.
Zero.
I'm going to give it one because Amazon owns all those mechs.
But they don't, though. You work for like multiple different corporations.
No. You're on multiple corporations. Islands. Those mechs are Amazon.
No, they're not. The specific squads are owned by specific companies.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
So, that's fair. Let's give it a one. That's fine.
Because it has corporations in it?
Yeah. Because it has mega corporations in it.
All corporately run.
Tarn Adams.
None.
Yeah. It's not a strange mood kind of game.
I mean, it is like a roguelike. But,
nah.
It doesn't have that feel.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Doesn't have that mouth feel.
Yeah.
Jake Solomon. Ooh.
Okay.
Yo, yeah. It gets like four.
Yeah,
four.
It gets like four.
Jake Solomon.
Four Jake Solomon.
Because I was never Jake Solomon. I was never punch your keyboard, man.
But, yo, but I can't name them either. That's like, that's the fifth Jake Solomon, is if I could name them.
Oh, and like, grow, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I did get cuss out loud when I'm alone mad, though.
That's normal.
Nah, not that
that's
much for me.
That's an elevated level of gaming for me, I don't know.
Like, swearing out loud is like a social behavior, yeah. So like, when you do it alone, that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if you're watching a movie by yourself, and it literally makes you laugh.
Yeah.
You know, like, it must have been really funny.
Yeah, you can internal chuckle way easier. The external laugh...
Yeah.
When no one's around,
yeah,
that's for you.
Yeah,
like
there's a podcast I listen to, and it's funny. I listen to it because it's funny. There was one time where I was riding my bicycle and listening to it, and what they said was so funny, I had to stop bicycling and just hold onto my handlebars and laugh. I met them in person before this happened. The next time I see them in person, I have to tell them.
That's awesome.
Your ass almost killed me.
Yeah.
All right. And made me look crazy.
I don't think we had any unrealized dreams or games that we wish were different or games that never are going to exist or things like that. So it's time for the new segment called Cosmetic Prognostication.
Yeah. Cosmetic Bingo.
Cosmetic Prognostication Bingo. Bingo. Bing pot.
That's a bimbo. All right, so the premise of this goes like this. They release cosmetics in PUBG from time to time. We all play PUBG. Mm-hmm. The cosmetics are always atrocious.
Like, in the best way.
Oh, yeah, they're glorious, but they're atrocious.
Sexy murder boys.
So, like, my idea was, the next time they announce cosmetics, we should scope them out, share our thoughts on them, and try and guess how much they're going to go for on the marketplace.
Okay.
And
So viewers at home... you two can pull up this crate on the wiki and look along with us.
Well, by the time this comes out, they'll just have the prices.
That's true. They'll have the price. They'll know if
I just means for the visual, they can go look while just we talk about
the same market.
As luck would have it, PUBG yesterday rolled out skins for guns, the most hideous of in-game cosmetics.
Yes.
Oh, God, I hate them so much.
And some of them can already be traded on the marketplace, but half of them cannot because they come from the crate that has a key that you have to buy, and things that come from locked crates can't be sold on the marketplace for a week.
So we're going to be talking about those.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you how much they're going to cost in a week.
Well, we're going to try.
No, we're going to do it.
All right.
Positive mindset here.
All right.
You give me Pubstradamus?
Pubstradamus!
So with the highest drop rate...
Player Unknown's Battle
from this crate...
Okay.
I'm going to list off a set of guns here. It's an M4, a SCAR, an AK, a Kar-98, and an UMP. They are all safety orange.
5 cents.
They are the most common drop from this crate,
okay.
But they are from the crate that requires a key.
Ooh. 5 cents.
20 cents.
Just because of the key.
The Kar-98 is going to be a dollar.
I'm shaking my head yes. Vehemently. This, I mean, this is the market trend we've already observed.
Because PUBG players want to fuck the Kerr 98.
Oh my god. Just go play DoD again. Just go do it.
It's like I'm going to save the best for last. The so there's a camo pattern revolver, the R45, mm-hmm. the one on Miramar.
The Blade Runner blaster.
Yeah, the blaster. As known in our, yeah. in our group. I'm of two minds on
this. What kind of camo?
It's
the color
like
is
desert
important.
It's a white and brown digital camo.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
24 cents.
So here's the thing though. I'm of two minds about this.
This is
like,
again the key crate?
Yes, this is the key crate.
Okay.
Because the non-key crate, those things can already be bought and sold.
Yeah.
I'm of two minds because on one hand, like, pistols don't matter. Pistols aren't glamorous. Pistols aren't the Kerr 98. However, you can equip an R45 every game you play on Miramar.
Yeah.
You always get to use that skin.
Mm-hmm.
And
that gun's very common.
And the R45 is legitimately a very good
mm-hmm.
pistol.
Mm-hmm.
79 cents.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to skew close
like
to a dollar.
It's as much as those cheese and white crackers. Crackers, yeah, 79 cents.
What the hell?
I was thinking the
oh the crackers.
The crackers
that
crazy person did you eat?
No, Matt. It's the crackers that come with a little swimming pool of cheese to put them in.
What are you talking about?
Andy snacks. That's what I wanted. Yeah.
Okay, I am again restating. Which dead crazy person
with
did you eat?
The red steak you spread the cheese with.
Okay, so all right, y'all's ready for the next one?
Yeah.
There's a 1911? Can you say 1911 or
that's
Beretta.
A Beretta?
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a Beretta with triangles. Gray, white, and black camo with like red trim. Because that's the thing, is that that paint scheme has that red trim on it.
$1.33.
$1.16. I'm going a little under there.
I'm gonna put it close to two.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say what like 175. Alright, now there is a set of things. I'm gonna list off several guns in a row again. We have the Winchester, the sawn-off shotgun, the SKS, and the S-12. They have all gold
garbage
medals.
Pile.
They have all gold medal.
Oh, yeah, these.
And they have wood trim everywhere.
Can I see a picture of these, please?
Yeah. So it's like, look them up at home, people.
Oh, $50.
$50?
$50.
Oh, yeah.
Those are going to be like...
They look like gold-plated Jacobs guns from
Borderlands. Those are going to be like 70 bucks.
Yeah. Those are going to be the hot ticket, like $50.
I think the SKS especially.
Yeah.
Because like the SKS is like the good gun out of that pile.
Yeah.
Like,
I kind of like the idea of a gold Winchester, but like I'm not going to be ripping people's heads off with it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pay $20 for the Winchester skin for the rare times I use a Winchester and I can't find a good gun yet. Yeah.
I think if I
roll one of those out of a crate... I bet
the sawn-off will also be worth a lot because that's a pistol slot, so it's not as damning to equip that.
I think that those will range between 30 for the guns that are not used very often and over $100 for the ones that you mentioned.
I think the sawn-off is going to be super expensive, even though the sawn-off is trash and you shouldn't use it and you should shame your friends that use it.
The
only time I pick it up is when
I've
got nothing else.
Yeah.
And sometimes I kill people from 20 feet away with
it. Although, I must say, it is a fun thing to pull out when you have someone crawling around on the ground in front of you.
It does have the cool factor the way the revolver did on that.
Okay, so here's what I think are the safe bets on price.
Mm.
There is a 416, a Kerr 98, and a Mini 14 that have that same brown digital camo pattern. So it's like legitimately effective camo. They're kind of high on the drop table in rarity.
I think these ones will be
good guns.
$20 and $70, depending on the rarity. What is there? Is that higher than the gold?
It doesn't give a percentage. It just gives color.
Okay. But the gold ones were purple, right?
Some of them. One of the golds is purple. The others are blue.
Okay.
So
yeah, I think these triangle camo things that you're talking about will be between $40 and $80.
Yeah, I think the Mini 14 one's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
And the Kerr 98.
Yeah, like 60 to 100, I think.
Like, I have that Mini skin on the test server.
Yeah.
And, like I realized, like, oh, I'm probably never going to own this on the live server.
Nope. I think the drop rates on the test server are different.
Oh, yeah. No, the test server, from what I can tell, makes everything an equal chance to drop because they need to test whether
sure
or not...
it fits on the model.
They need all to know if any of the shirts are going to memory leak and crash the game or whatever. And if like this,
like the way flashbangs used to disconnect people,
yeah,
like in the early alpha.
God damn it, that's retarded.
Like, hey, check this out! Throw in the building and five people disconnect.
Fucking lethal.
But like the problem was even the sound file did it, so you had to be like fuck and run away when you threw one.
So dumb.
Okay. So here comes the crown jewels. Okay.
Oh, are these the fucking Counter-Strike-esque skins they made? Yeah.
So there's an ump and an AK, and they're all black. And the image I'm looking at is pretty bad quality, but it looks like they have some ugly-ass 90s tattoo angel wings
may I see?
Painted onto them.
Oh, horrendous.
And they're also the rarest things in the crate.
Yeah, those will be upwards of $100.
Yeah.
I bet
AK's like $200.
I bet they're $200.
Yeah.
Judging by the way shit goes in this game.
All right, now comes the harder part. In addition to any of these one things dropping in your crate, there's two last items that aren't gun skins.
Okay.
They are little sub-crates of sets of gun skins.
Oh, God.
So one of them has all of the gold weapon skins.
Okay.
And I think the other one has maybe all of the orange ones. It doesn't say what they are here.
What rarity colors are there?
They don't have rarity colors.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So they're probably, like, remember how, like, in the international crate they had, in the international crate you could also just find a whole school uniform?
Yeah.
It's that type thing.
Okay.
Those would be in the multiple hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, like.
They'll be thousands. They'll be, like, $1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah.
Because, like, even now the Twitch box set is something like fucking
and the Twitch set is worth, if it's in its box, it is somehow worth more than the constituent things that come in the Twitch box combined. Like, there's some sort of like collector's thing going on. I don't know why it's priced that way.
There's some dumbass market dynamic behind
that. That happens in Warframe too, and it's not a collector's thing. It's I go and grind as much as I'm willing to, and then when I reach the point where I no longer wish to grind for the thing, I will, if I have platinum available, purchase the constituent parts that I do not have from any individual set. The sets, if you just buy them, the whole thing, are always worth more than...
I think it's a convenience charge.
Yeah, it's a convenience charge.
Right? Like,
yeah.
So, and that's in Warframe. I'm not talking about PUBG.
Yeah, no, I'm saying Warframe.
In Warframe, that happens frequently, and it's a convenience charge.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because, like, with PUBG, there's so many people playing that literally all items that can possibly be traded on the marketplace are always available on the marketplace.
Which is where the rarity really susses out the pricing.
Yeah.
Right. You actually have a supply and demand dynamic going on there.
So, that's been your PUBG Fashion Minute.
That's
Let's check back next week and see how these prices shake out.
Speaking of,
because they'll be hitting the market today, or a week from today.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
we are not giving out a chicken hat.
Nope.
Where can they reach us?
If you want to send us corrections or game codes or screeds or manifestos, those can be sent to badplaystyle@gmail.com.
If you want the manifesto to be extra public, put it on the Reddit.
But it has to be, well, no, we declared dead, no. The Reddit is done.
We are also reachable at badplaystyle on Twitter.
If your screed's under 280 characters.
Yeah, or you want to do multiple tweets.
And what are we playing next week?
We are playing Bomber Crew, which is a management simulation
Holy
game.
Shit, Keenan picked a management game?
Weird, right? Wherein you are running a World War II Lancer bomber crew. It involves finding targets.
Wait, you're in a B-2 Lancer?
No. Like the old ones.
A Lancaster?
Yeah, that's the one. My bad.
You're in a Land Cruiser. From the Ford World Mars.
Or B-1 Lancer. B-2 is the Spirit. My
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
You're in a plane.
You're in the British plane with a tail. Yep.
Well, okay.
Yep.
It's good you said that because they've got so many flying wings to compare them against.
God damn it. Anyways, you're running a little bomber crew and you have to do, like, resource management. Like, eventually the guns domes run out of ammo, so you have to run ammo to people. There's, like, power-ups that your guys get as they level. So, like, your engineer gets good at mixing fuel, like, real lean or real strong. So you can go faster or farther.
Okay.
There's some weird little things in there to change the way the game plays, but it's a lot of point and click instructional stuff where you tell them, hey, go over there because that's our mission, and then you got to time things right to drop bombs or take photos or just stuff. It's cool. It's fun so far.
Dope. Is there anything anyone wanted to say?
No.
In the podcast.
Bye.
Okay.
Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.